The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
It's getting better. No, we have a very short teaching this morning. Yeah, just no, for real now. For real. If you've been learning for 30 days, today can afford to be short. But then, that's not a promise. But don't worry, just a very simple message this morning. And it's going to bless you. Let me look to your left and to your right and say something nice to the person. Say something, mean it. Say you're handsome, you're beautiful, I like your clothes. I love how you look. Glory to God. Amen. Combined services are always good. You get to see people you've not been seeing. They've been coming for first service, but you've never seen them. So now you can see all of them. Amen. It's been 30 or 29 wonderful days of learning the word, praying. Many of you will not recover from this thing. Because your alarm will keep ringing. Every time once it's 12 o'clock, it will ring. Pray now. It's been amazing. You know, when the Lord put this vision in my heart and all the structure He put in my heart, you know, you were scared when you heard it. I was more scared when I heard it. You know, but then I had to pray again and confirm, okay, God, is that what you want us to do? And we've done it. It's been amazing. It's been amazing. If I tell you the testimonies, they are really uncountable. And we are even getting much more testimonies. Amen. You see, some of you picked up seriously in your spiritual life within these days. Don't drop it. You know what I said? Don't drop it. Some of you began to come for midweek services since we started. Don't stop. You just, you know, God uses the opportunity to teach you how to do the Christian life. So don't stop. Don't stop. There is a lot more God wants to do with you. A lot more God wants to teach you, wants to make you. And so that's why you don't stop. I've been teaching for 29 days now on oikos, right? The house of God. And maybe today, like I said, I have a few things that I would have loved to share further with us if we had like 10 days extra. But we don't. Okay? Because I have not taught you on the church as the bride of Christ. I have not looked at the church as a lampstand. They are all in my notes, but maybe some other time. Is that okay? That's tell you, if you have 10 more days, I'm ready for you. Are you ready for me? You are not. So today I'll just try to tidy this up and see how we can go. So I just want to share something very simple with you this morning. The mandate of the church. The mandate of the church. I have 45 minutes to share this, but it's going to be the best 45 minutes of your life. Are you ready? Now, that's not to say that I will preach short messages. I don't preach that. I never preached it. I will never start. But then, that's just because this morning, we are rounding up everything. Amen. The mandate of the church. Matthew 28 and verse 18. Get your Bible. Matthew 28 and verse 18. Jesus speaking, He said to them, all authority in heaven and the earth has been given unto me. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto me. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you even unto the end of the world. So King James said they should go and teach all nations in verse 19. But the right rendering of that, as observed by every other translation that came after the King James, if you pull up like Amplified Classic and other ones, is that they should go and make disciples of all nations. They should go and make disciples of all the nations. NLT said the same thing. He said they should go and make disciples. New Living Translation. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations. All the translations observe the same thing. Go and make disciples. That's how it happens in the original. So, Jesus did not send them to just go and teach and hold teaching classes. He says, go and make disciples of all nations. And so, simply put, the mandate of the Church of Jesus Christ is to disciple the nations on the earth. To disciple, and that's a very strong word, because the word disciple means students. It means to turn all the nations of the earth to become students of Jesus. To turn all the nations of the earth to become students, to begin to learn at the feet of Jesus. And look at what it says, to disciple all nations. All nations. Now, look at that. Message is very powerful. Message said, go out and train everyone you meet. So the plan of God is that all the nations of the earth will not just come to Jesus, no, but will be taught of Jesus, will be discipled of Jesus. So God is thinking of bringing people from all around the world and discipling them, making them a student of Jesus. And notice what it says. It says, go to all nations. All nations will imply that everyone has a part in what God wants to do. Everyone has a part. So the mandate of Jesus is not something he has for Nigeria or something he has for Ghana or something he has for US. It is for all nations of the earth to go and make disciples of all the nations of the earth. So when you get to Australia, you make disciples there. When you get to Ghana, you make disciples there. When you get to Canada, you make disciples there, telling everyone to become a disciple of Jesus. By this mandate, it goes to show us that everyone is implicated. God has a plan for everyone. You know, the Bible tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, talking about our Lord Jesus Christ, saying, who will not have anyone to perish, but that all will come to the knowledge of the truth. That 1 Timothy 2 and verse 4. So God wants all to come to the knowledge of the truth. God wants all men saved. God wants all men discipled. God wants all men trained. So all men are in his plan. In Isaiah 11 verse 9, he said, the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the water covers the sea. The earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the water covers the sea. So the plan of God is that the time is going to come when everyone across the nations of the earth will not just hear about Jesus, but will be taught of Jesus. Are you following me? Will not just hear that Jesus exists, but they will learn his ways. And I came to bring this charge to you this morning as a way to end my teaching sessions in this particular meeting, to let you know that this is what God wants us to do. He wants to use us to disciple the nations of the earth. What does that mean? He wants to use us to teach everybody on earth the ways of Jesus. To teach everybody on earth the message of our Lord Jesus Christ. To not just make them converts, but to turn them to disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the mandate of the church. In Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 2. Give me that on the screen. Isaiah 2 and verse 2. Isaiah writing and prophesying, very powerful prophecy. He said, it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain, please don't forget this verse I'm going to show you, that the mountain of the Lord's house, this is God's vision, that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. Verse 3. All nations shall flow into it, and many people shall go and say, come ye and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways. So God is saying, a time is coming, and I can tell you now is the time, when the mountain of the Lord's house shall be exalted above every other mountain. And it's not just Isaiah that said this. Micah repeated the same prophecy, exactly the same thing. In Micah chapter 4 verse 1. So God spoke to Isaiah and spoke to Micah. And this is very powerful because these are two different generations. These are many years apart. Yet God brought the same message. Micah chapter 4 and verse 1. Put it up quickly. Micah chapter 4 and verse 1. It shall come, but the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow into it. And in verse 2. He tells us that many nations shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways and walk in his path. This is actually what God wants to do. And look at what he said. Don't miss the few things in this verse. He said, the mountain of the house of the Lord. What does he mean by the mountain of the house of the Lord? Now, is referring specifically to the house of God. So he refers to, he says, shall be exalted above other mountains. This goes to show that there are many mountains on earth. And this is not a physical mountain now. There are many mountains, but there is the mountain of the house of God. So the house of God, that's the church, the local church, is also a mountain. Are you following me? Go back to Isaiah 2 and verse 2. Give me NLT. So I can read together like a mass choir. NLT. Are you ready? Isaiah 2 and verse 2, New Living Translation. Are you ready? Let's go. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's house. Stop. The mountain of the Lord's house. Can we call that the local church? If we're following our teaching so far, right? The house of God is the local church. So can we say the mountain of the house of the Lord, right? The mountain of the local church, right? What did he say will happen? Will be the highest of all. It will be the most important place on earth. That's what God wants to do. To make his house, the church, the most important place on earth. It will be raised above the other hills. And people from all over the world will stream there to worship. And we're going to see this in our days. When the local church, the mountain of the church, shall be the most important. I know there are many mountains. I don't know how people classify those things. But there are many mountains. People say there is the mountain of entertainment. Some say there is the mountain of whatever, politics. But you know, whatever it is, Bible said, there are many mountains. What this means is, there are many things seeking to draw your attention. There are many places trying to gather people. The clubhouse is trying to gather people. Schools are trying to gather people. Markets are trying to gather people. Politics is trying to gather people. I get what I'm saying? Entertainment is trying to gather people. As you are planning Zoe now, get to the streets. Many people are planning different things. Night of laughter. Laughter will not end. All of those things. Comedians. And these are different mountains and different gatherings. They are not bad. But God is saying that in the last days, the mountain called the house of God shall be the highest of all the mountains. NLT said it shall be the most important place on the earth. It will be exalted. Now, this is why you see the devil fighting the idea of the local church. Because this is actually what God wants to do with the church. So people are actually saying, oh, the church is not important. I can stream from my house. Church is in the heart. I can wake up on Sunday morning and just play, Jesus, you love me too much. And I'll be fine. God can speak to you anywhere. That is the agenda of hell. He's there to counter what God wants to do. God wants to make his house the highest of all the mountains. So that all nations will stream there to worship. And that's not streaming online. I just have to say that. Because they stream there to worship. Say, sir, is it even in the Bible? Say we should stream service. No. Streaming service, I don't know why God is bringing this up now, is only an option when there is no other option. I mean, if you are in a place where your church is not located, or you travel for work, or for whatever reason, then you can join service. That's how we celebrate people joining us online and all of that. But hear me, the right plan of God is that the mountain of the house of the Lord will be exalted and all nations will stream into it. We move into it. Let me amplify a classic of this. Amplify classic. Hallelujah. Let's do it together. Are you there? It shall come to pass, in the latter days, that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be firmly established as the highest of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall, this is what God wants to do, all nations flow into the house of God, all nations. It shall be the most important mountains and all nations. Give me a message. All nations flowing into it. Message Bible. Say, there is a day coming when the mountain of God's house will be the mountain. Are you what I'm talking about? Solid. Towering over all mountains. All nations will river toward it. People from all over set out for it. I know that is Islam. I know that is Buddhism. I know that is African national religion. But we are about to experience a mighty move of God. Where the mountain of the Lord's house, where as represented by his local churches, will be the gathering place for the nations of the earth. Across all nations, across all states, across all cities, across all streets, the mountain of the Lord's house exalted so high, and nations are flowing into it. And I don't know about you, but we are going to see this in our days. We are going to experience it. So you notice when the Bible is saying God made disciples of all nations, how will you, listen to this, I told you what disciples mean, students. How will you turn all nations to become students? If all nations become students, it then means there will be a school for all nations to attend. And what school is that? That school is the master of the Lord's house, the local church. So God wants through the church to disciple the entire nation. That's why it's a good time to say to you that your neighbor is a candidate for the plan of God. That one I used to smoke and get high is a candidate for the plan of God. The plan of God is for all nations to gather in his house. It's all fully I'm talking about now. That one that says, I don't like church. I mean, all the people arguing on Facebook, fighting the idea of church on Facebook, all of them are candidates for the house of God. Because the plan of God is that all nations will flow into the church. All nations. Not just the righteous people. Not just the people that look very sanctimonious, but all nations. And we are going to see this happen in our days. That's why we are going to make room for much more services. That's why, for instance, a meeting like Zoe, we are getting a bigger space. And when the time comes, we'll get a bigger space. And that's why it can never be big enough. Because the plan of God is that a time is coming when all nations will find their way to the house of the Lord. And don't tell me the house of God, I think I've explained this in this series, don't tell me the house of God is that they should just be born again. No. He's talking about a particular house. That house is the local church in different places. That's why I said again, the reason the idea of the local church is being fought in these last days is because that is the agenda of God. When Brother Hagen of Best Memory was going to die, he gave a prophecy. In some of his books, you see this prophecy. He said, if you ask me what the Lord is doing now, I will tell you that he's raising strong local churches. Simple. He said, that's what God is going to do, and that's what he'll be doing until he returns. He's raising strong local churches. He wants to gather the earth in his church. Gather the world in his church. Gather the nations of the world in his church. What is the purpose? That they will be taught of the Lord. I'm not talking about, please give me an NLT of this verse. I'm not talking about gathering in the house of the Lord because there are miracles. Look at that again. Go to verse 3. Look at verse 3. People from many nations will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of Jacob's God. There he will teach us his ways. I'm not talking about meetings where people gather just to shout and to scream. I mean, where the whole nations of the earth will become students of God's word. They will gather because they want to learn his ways. They don't gather for the miracles. They're not gathering because they want signs. They are gathering because they want to learn his ways. And this is what God wants to do, to make all nations disciples and not to make them receivers of miracles. Now, nothing is wrong with miracles, but that's not the plan of God for the nations of the earth. I get what I'm saying? He wants to make them students of the world and not to make them people that are just customers. Because some church members, some believers see themselves as customers. Just coming to receive from the church. Attend to us right. After all, customer is always right. That's not God's plan. God's plan is that you will become a student of the word of God. All nations of the earth, presidents, governors, chairmen of local governments, different places, under the bridge, in the hall houses, in the clubhouses, making everywhere and everyone a student of the house of God. And that's the mandate we are running with. Are you following me? As we are bringing it to an end, this is what God wants to do. The reason he took us through these 30 days is to achieve this particular purpose. To make us men that will turn the nations of the earth to become disciples of Jesus. Are you following me, friends? So have an assignment. As we leave today, as we end this meeting tomorrow, actually, the teaching session is ending today, the meeting is ending properly tomorrow, we have an assignment. The local church is the guardian and should be the guardian for all nations. Are you still here? God wants all nations to flow into his house. You know, in Luke chapter 14, give me that on the screen, verse 23. Before verse 23, we have a parable. And in that parable, a man called a feast. Because this is what God wants to do. A man called a feast. And then he sent out his guys to go and invite people for the feast. And they went out and they invited some people. And those people they invited gave excuses. Oh, we don't want to come. Oh, we're still on our way. Oh, we have events to attend. One said, I have a wedding. They said different things. So they came back and told him, these guys you invited said they're not coming. He told them, get to the streets. Bring me the blind. Bring me the hungry. Bring me the tired. Gather them and fill up the house. And of course, they went and did that. And they came back to him in verse 22 and said, we have They said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded. Yet there is room. They told him, we've gathered everybody, but there is this space. And he gave a mandate in verse 23. The Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges. And give me the word. And what? Compel them to come, that my house will be filled. God wants his house filled. So he said, if they won't come, compel them to come. That's the season we are in now. The Greek word is anakazo. Anakazo. Because God wants his house full. God wants his house filled. God wants, I'm not just talking about filling up the church because we want a crowd. Where everybody, that's why I keep saying I don't want useless crowd. Where everybody fills up everywhere, 10,000 people, 15,000 people, all of them students of the world, sitting at the seats, learning day by day. And we are going to see this in our days. I believe it's all my heart that God in one of these days and not soon from, not far from now, 10,000 students of the world gathered. The Bible calls it multitude of disciples. So it means, listen what it means. It means we can be big and still be disciples. I get what I'm saying. Of course, whenever there is multitude, there is always corruption in some of these places. But there can be multitude and there can be disciples. 10,000 disciples. 10,000 men being taught of the Lord. 10,000 women taught of the Lord. 50,000 men taught of the Lord. 1 million men taught of the Lord. Sitting under the influence of God's word and getting better. Can I share with you? That is the answer the world needs. Some people say things like, there is church everywhere, yet the country is not changing. Well, there is church everywhere. Well, I don't even know what you mean by that statement, but let me see if I know what you mean, if I understand what you mean. If what you mean is that there is church everywhere, and yet there are no good roads in Nigeria, then stop the arguments. There will not be good roads because there is church. It is not the church's responsibility to build roads or to build companies. It's not our job to build hospitals. We do it when we want to do it. It's not our job. That's why you do election every 4 years to vote in people that will build roads and hospitals for you. Say amen. But if you talk of character transformation in society, leave it to the church. And the only way that can be achieved is that we all are able to make people students of the word of God. I'm not talking about where 10,000 people gather and all they are shouting is yeah, yeah, yeah. Students sitting under God's word, being transformed by God's word. And I tell you what Martin Luther said, I have a dream, and indeed I have a dream. I have a dream of 100,000 people sitting every Sunday to learn the word. I have a dream of 300,000 men and women across the nations of the earth sitting under the influence of God's word and are learning the word for 8 hours. No one is complaining. I see them in politics. That's how change will come. Because when people get born again, their spirit man is changed. When they begin to learn of Jesus, their character transforms. By the time they now get into politics, they will effect that change in that place. When you take them to hospitals, they will effect that change. That's why I have a dream of 1 million persons sitting under God's word. I have a dream of stadiums being used for Bible study. I have a dream of nations of the earth, different hair colors, black, white, red, different colors, blonde, all sitting under the influence of God's word and are learning and taking notes. I have a dream of the word of God transforming the heart of men. I have a dream where the mountain of the Lord shall be exalted above every other mountain and the nations of the earth will flow into it. I have a dream when we will have a world where you can no longer manipulate people with wrong doctrine, where there will be well taught of the God of Jacob. I have a dream. And in our days, I will see that dream manifest. We'll start from Enugu to the rest of the world. We'll start from your city to the rest of the world, where we will see the word of God taught. You get to schools, men are teaching the word. You get secondary schools, people are learning the word. I have a dream of having Zoe in a place where you can't count the number of persons. And we're not there to seek for miracles. We sit under God's word and we are learning. God has a vision. His vision has become my vision. I have a dream of the nations of the earth responding to Jesus. And in our days, we will see that dream come to pass. Because God has given us a mandate to go and disciple the nations of the earth. And I'm going to call on you. Sit for a moment. I'm going to call on you to align yourself to that vision. To align yourself to that dream. To align yourself to that stuff in the heart of God. That's why as we leave, I'm going to encourage you. As we end this meeting today, church continues on Thursday. Church continues on Sunday.
Ministry continues. God's vision is still burning and is waiting for men that will catch it. When the nations of the earth shall be discipled, when everyone will stream into the house of God to learn his ways. So the question is, what must I do? I give you number one. You must be a disciple yourself. The first thing this calls for is that you yourself will make up your mind to be a student of the word, a student of God. Be committed to God, be committed to his church and his assignment. You are hearing these words this morning because God wants you to be more than a Christian. God wants you to be more than a believer. God wants you to be more than a churchgoer. God wants you to be a student of his word. Committed. No longer will they force you or beg you to come and learn the word when you are a student. The same way a student wakes up every morning and carries his bag to school to go and learn. You wake up every day and you are desperate for the word. As the deer pants for water, David says, so my soul longs for you. That's what God wants to do in you. So what must you do? You must first of all be a student of the word. I want to challenge everybody on the sound of my voice. I don't know you. I don't know who you are before you came here. But I mean, you can become more than just a churchgoer. You can become more than just a Christian who shows up once in a while. You can become more than just a churchgoer who comes when people need him. You can become more than a churchgoer who just comes to receive things from the church. You can become a disciple of Jesus. Because again, the plan of God is not to make converts. There is nowhere in the Bible where the Bible told us to become converts. He said we should become disciples. Who is a disciple? A student of God's word. Someone who sits under God's word and is learning. Line upon line. Precept upon precept. He's learning. There is Sunday service. He comes. There is a special meeting. He shows up. He goes home. He plugs his earpiece into his ear. He's listening to the word. He gets a Christian book. He's learning. What is he doing? He's learning of the ways of God. He comes to church. He's serving. Because the Bible tells us of the household of Stephanas in 1 Corinthians 16 verse 15. Where the Bible said that house had addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. That's a disciple right there. Friend, you must be more than just a churchgoer. You must be more than a believer. You must be more than a believer. You must become a disciple of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, someone who lives his life because he wants to learn. Let me tell you what it is like. When you gain admission into school, you become a student of the school. But when you begin to attend classes, you will now begin to learn. You've gotten born again. You can't stay in your house. God's plan is that his house will become the gathering point of all nations. Start with yourself. God's plan is that his house will be the gathering point of all nations. Start with yourself. You can't wake up on Sunday morning and say, I'm at home. I can't go to church today. I beg, just free me. Nobody's freeing you this time. God wants his house full. Gathering and learning of him. And it will be for your own benefit. I get the point. It will be for your own benefit. I don't have time to begin to show you all the reasons why you must be in church. 30 reasons. Of course, I've done that throughout this meeting. How the church will bless you. But let me tell you, God wants you to be seated here. God wants that every Sunday, you sit down here. Every Thursday, you sit down here. Because if he wants to reach you, he will reach you through the voices he has placed in his church. I was not surprised that people were saying, you know, all my direction, this meeting gave me direction, all the things I wanted to do. Somehow, a pastor was talking about it. Because if God wants to reach you, he will reach you through the voices he has placed in his house. He will. You have a business plan. Your business is not working. Father, what do I do? One of the things God will do is you just stumble into church one of those Sundays and pastor is just talking. And just sometimes by supernatural digression, there are some digressions that when it happens in church, you know this one is not normal. God spoke to this man. But has a pastor ever been talking and you almost want to tell him, why didn't you call me to tell me personally? It looks like he saw you yesterday. It looks like he saw what you said. And then talk of the miracles. Remember that I was ministering here and I gave a word of knowledge. I said, there was someone here, that was last week, someone here that was just talking to someone earlier today, telling the person, I've not gotten that text, that mail. Remember that? I had around that day. And that young man ran out. Look around, he's not in church today, because that mail has come. Right? That's a job, he has traveled for it now. Just supernaturally. And this cannot happen in your house, sir. So all of this God can reach you anywhere. God will not reach you in your house. Stay where God can meet you. Stay where God can reach you. Stay where God can reach you. And that's his church. Stay where God can reach you. Sir, God can't come to my house. He can. But even when he comes to your house, will you know he has come? That atmosphere may not even let you know that he has come to your house. Stay where he can reach you. So I can just pray to God in my room and he answers me. Well, that is correct. But coming to church is beyond coming to get answers. The same God you can pray to and he answers you in your room. That same God said, I will give you shepherds after my heart. Yes. So you find and become a disciple of Jesus. You know, this year has been significant in our history as a church. Remember the immersion teaching? What was the teaching? Limud. And I made a promise in January that I would train you this year. And I swear I've lived up to my words. I promised you. Because that's what God wants to do. Look at how the year has gone. Some of you that entered the PCA advanced, that one finished your life for 6 months. Then it back to back. Just been like that. You can't get that in your house. You can't become a disciple in isolation. You can't learn medicine in your room. You know, it's funny. You can't learn medicine in your room. You can't learn law in your room. But somehow you believe you can learn the word of God in your house. He said, but we have Bible. Don't you have medical textbooks? If you meet a doctor that told you, you know, I learned medicine by reading all these medical textbooks, can I operate on you? Will you agree? But somehow you believe that you can learn God's word in your own house and be a giant. And you see them arguing on Facebook. Someone who has not been to church in 7 years, someone who has not opened his Bible in 3 weeks, is arguing what he thinks is right about the Bible. Get to the word and become a student of the word. Find yourself in church and follow the instructions given. Grow. God wants his house to be the gathering point of all nations. Not just gathering for the sake of entertainment, but gathering for the sake of discipleship. And I don't know about you, but I'm a disciple of Jesus. And I wear that badge with confidence. And I was telling you yesterday, I wear the badge of discipleship with confidence. I'm not ashamed to say I learn about Jesus. I learn from Jesus. I'm not ashamed to say I do my life like Jesus. I'm not ashamed to say that thing you are doing is against my faith. I won't do it. A disciple wears the badge of their master. You get the point? I'm not ashamed to say I go to church sometimes. And I stay there all day. What are you doing? You guys are wasting your time. But you go to school sometimes and you stay in school all day. And you're not wasting your time. Everybody's learning what is important to them. I'm learning what is important to me. This is important to me. I'm a disciple of Jesus. I get to the point. There are many of you I see in the Holy Ghost. You are very serious with God at a time in your life. You are even serving God fervently. Suddenly you began to do things in isolation. Because, and I say this by the Holy Ghost, because the cares of this world, you started wanted to make money, you wanted to succeed, life began to happen, you began to distance yourself. Repent and fix your ways. Get back home to your church and start learning the word. Start growing. Because I tell you, under God, you will get everything you are looking for. But you will still not find the satisfaction you need. Because satisfaction is not found in things. It is found in the Lord. That's why we sang, to God my exceeding joy. He is the only joy that you need, actually. You can find everything you want, but you still not find happiness. I get what I'm saying. I'm a disciple of Jesus. God wants to make all nations disciples, and he will start with me, and I'll be a disciple. Number two, what else should you do? You must go out. You must leave your comfort zone. What else should you do to be able to make sure that the whole nations of the earth gets discipled? You must leave your comfort zone. You must do some more. You must go the extra mile. You must not spare yourself. You must stretch yourself. So what are you trying to say? You must pray some more. Reach out some more. I know you've been praying, but these are the days to pray some more. God wants to reach the whole earth. I know you've been preaching the gospel, but these are the days to preach some more. Go the extra mile. Leave your comfort zone. You've been praying for 15 minutes. It's time to stretch to 45 minutes. We've been doing 1 hour. It's time to do some more. Do a little more, sir. Go the extra mile. You've been coming to church every Sunday. It's time to add Thursday to it. Do some more. You've been preaching to two people every week. It's time to do some more. Make it four. We all must put our foot on the ground and do some more for Jesus. Because he wants the whole nation of the earth. And if we continue with the intensity that we are moving, we might not be able to achieve God's plan. Is someone getting what I'm talking about? So do some more. Do some more. Pastors, do some more. One of the things that the Lord said to me this year, and I'm living up to it. He said, in ministry this year, don't spare yourself. Stretch yourself. That's talk. Don't spare yourself. That's why, that's nothing. I don't spare, you know, I don't spare myself anything. If you say, but if God wants you to teach you for 100 days, I'm here. I should be away for 3 days, I'm here. Don't spare yourself. Do stretch yourself. Do some more. Preach some more. Be in church some more. Pray some more. Give some more. Flow in the spirit some more. Prophesy some more. Stretch yourself. The reason why you've not become all that God wants you to be is because you are just sparing yourself. You are doing the much you can. Don't do the much you can. Do more than what you can. Because you know the problem with doing the much you can, you are the one limiting yourself. So are you praying? Say, I'm doing the much I can. Most times you are not doing the much you can. 30 minutes is not the much you can. Take it from me. You can pray for 2 hours every day consistently. I get to the point. So I just pray for 30 minutes. Stretch yourself. Do some more. I get what I'm saying now. By these 30 days, I've been able to prove to you that anything you set your mind to do, you can do it. I've been able to prove to you that you can be more committed than you actually know. I've been able to prove to you, some of you that followed, that you can actually preach the gospel every day. How many of you preached every day throughout these 29 days? Let me say, I preached every day. Yeah, don't lie, just raise it. If you preached every day, very well. You preached at least 25 days. You preached to someone at least 25 days, raise your hand. At least 20 days. 15 days. At least 15 days. Okay, if you know you preached at least 15 days, raise your hand. 10 days. At least 1 week. 3 days. You didn't preach. Amen. Do some more. Don't spare yourself. You know, I'll just pray the much I can. Stop praying the much you can. Stretch yourself. Anything you want to do is actually possible. Stretch yourself. Stretch yourself. You know the thing about your body? Your body is designed to respond to anything you make it become. Most of you hear me talk and I tell things like, I sleep only 2 hours. I sleep only 3 hours. See, this guy is a spirit. I'm not a spirit, sir. And I'm not, don't worry, I'm not playing with my health. And I know your advice. Thank you. Stretch yourself. You get the point? People that went ahead of me didn't play with their head. They didn't die. I get the point? They didn't die. Stretch yourself. Pray some more. Set more alarms. Wake up by 6. Pray to 9. Do some more. It's not like what I'm talking about now. Give some more. I'm talking about giving. Give some more. Give some more. Because the vision is big. Give some more. I want you to drag me today. A pastor you went to his church said, give. Say amen. Give. Give some more. How much? Some more. If you give 1 million, do some more. We are going to have big givers in this place. So. Big givers. Secret giving of 1 billion naira. Secret because they don't want anybody to know. We just say, 1 billion just dropped. Who? No name. Secret giving. Let me say something to you. Don't spare yourself. I've said it many times. I want to say it again. People give their money to anything that they think is important to them. And they do it unapologetically. So when you give in your church, give unapologetically. You get the point? If campaign politics is coming in 4 years, I'll be 3 years time, I'll be 2 years time now, we'll start campaigning. People will start giving. So we'll carry, they give big O. They can meet different, maybe you are suspecting this one will win governor. You can align with him, give him one bus to support his campaign, give him a ram, a goat, a cow. Sometimes you give him money, So that you do billboards for him, you are spending money because you think that somehow when he wins, he will remember you in his government. So you are giving to what you are interested in. And it's okay. I have no problem with you. It's okay. I get what I'm saying. You can belong to a cult because people have cults they belong to. And they do monthly contribution and you give. Or they want to do end of the year party and you give. It's your business. It's what you're interested in. I get what I'm saying now. It's Sunday evening. This evening, you can decide to become stupid, to go to a beer parlor and sit down there and burn 5 crates and give them your money. It's your business. Are you following me? You can decide to go to the club and for a drink you would have bought 20,000 outside, you buy it for like 200,000 and they play music for you. It's your money. Are you following me, everybody? Now, that's what you want to do with it. Now, you can decide to look at a celebrity from Big Brother Niger House and say, oh, we don't like how they evicted that celebrity. Oh, it's not good. Let's contribute money and buy him a car or buy her a car. You know that happened? I heard that happen. Is it audio money? I don't know. Or you buy him a house. I heard they bought house for one last year because they were sympathetic. Now, it's your money. And you have a right to spend it the way you like. Can I say, if I decide to look at a pastor and give him my life savings, it's also my money. And it's none of your business. And that's why I said, I will give some more. Is someone following me this morning? It's my business. Because all this thing about giving and all this tithing thing, people that are giving in church are not complaining. Guess people complaining, people who are not giving. People that still give 15 naira offering are the ones saying they are brainwashing people. The real people being brainwashed are not complaining. Is it your brain? Is it your washing? Is it your soap? We give some more. You can decide to wake up in the morning tomorrow and you do all night. Maybe on Friday, all night clubbing. You drink and enjoy yourself. It's your time. And it's your business. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's what you want to do. When you fall sick, we come and treat you. I get the point. I can also decide to go to vigil and do all night vigil, praying throughout the night. Don't call me stupid. It's your time, it's your life, it's my time, it's my life. Say amen, somebody. So don't spare yourself. Give some more. Pray some more. Reach out some more. Preach some more. Study your Bible some more. Do a little more. Are you following me, friends? Do a little more. Used to be in church just once a week. Add something to it. Decide that from today, Thursday meetings, I'll be here. Because I'm not an unserious Christian. Are you following me, friends? You used to preach when you can. Set your alarm. I'll preach at least 3 times every week. God wants the nation of the earth streaming to his church. That will not happen by laziness. That will happen by hard work. I feel what I'm saying. Drop your excuses and do some more. You used to pray in tongues once in a while. It's now time to pray some more. Paul said, 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 18, I thank my God that I pray in tongues more than you all. Be like Paul. Used to complain too much. It's time to now pray more. Do you get what I'm talking about? Say, I will do some more. Say it again now. Say it again now. You know, some of you, when you were students in the university, you used to, you know, serve God and do a lot of things. Now, you know, pray, pray, pray. Now, you know, you are working. You say, life is not busy. Stop that excuse. Do some more. Don't spare yourself. Stretch yourself and do some more. I make bold to say that the campus didn't find me more serious than I am now. I'm actually more serious now than I was in campus. I was very serious on campus, but I'm more serious now. Why? Because the path of the just is as a shining light that should shine brighter and brighter. It's not, never have a better yesterday. Never say, those days we used to pray, but now, no. Those days we used to pray for 2 hours, now we are doing 4 hours. That's the path of the just. Are you following me? As I get older, I get more serious. It's even one sign that you are growing older, that you are getting mature. Don't you understand?
If you are getting older and getting more unserious, it means you are not maturing. Your age is adding, you are reducing.
As you get older, you become more serious. I want to ask you, if I move on. Sister and brother, you celebrated your birthday this year, or your birthday is still coming. That should tell you that you are getting older. When are you going to become a little more serious with your life? When will you become a little more serious with your, in your work with God? You are getting older. All this, when you grow, you have grown. Every year you celebrate your birthday, you got closer to your grave.
Do you know what I say now?
Now, you don't like the message of death, but hear me. Every day you celebrate your birthday, you are getting closer to your grave. What it means is that if you had 50 years more on earth, you now have 49 more years. So the more you are wasting time pushing things to the future, time is counting. Do some more with your life. Preach some more. Reach out some more. Pray some more. Heal the sick some more. Stop saying, oh, later. Time is counting. If you have 70 years more on earth, by your next birthday, you are 69 years closer to your grave. And if you think 69 years is such a big time, say, before then, I don't know what to do. Can you remember 10 years ago? I don't remember 10 years ago. You know, there are some events that when you want to talk, you say it happened last year. Somebody will say, no, that was 5 years ago. Time is running and it's waiting for nobody. Time is counting. Since 2024, I remember vividly the day I was around this time, I finished my final exam. 2014. 10 years ago. And it's still like yesterday. Some of you still remember that day, same as I'm talking. Some of you remember when I posted on Facebook, I just finished my exam. Just about 10 years ago. And 10 years after, it's moving so fast. So if you have like 50 more years on earth, every birthday, you are getting closer to your death. What does that mean? Be more serious. Wake up and fulfill the plan of God for your life. Wake up and do some more. Go the extra mile. Leave your comfort zone. Stop doing what is convenient. Do what is necessary. Stop doing what is convenient. Do what is necessary. Read more books. You've read 5 books in the past 6 years. It's time to read more. You will not, you see, life does not wait for you. You have to pick up yourself. I'm challenging someone. God has a plan. That the nations of the earth will flow to the church. All of us have a role to play with that. You have to grow. You have to reach out. You have to preach to more men. Is someone following me this morning? And then last thing I'm going to say today is what I'm saying already. Do your work with a sense of urgency. Do your work as a minister with a sense of urgency. We are getting closer, whether you know it or not, to the return of Christ. And even if you don't believe in all this return of Christ thing, we are getting closer to when you will die. So you have to believe one. True or true? Is it not true? You don't know you're getting closer when you die. No, I'm not saying you will die tomorrow. I mean every day you sleep and wake up, one more day has left the number of days you spend on it. Do your work with urgency. Give me John 9 verse 4. Do your work with a sense of urgency. Do ministry with a sense of urgency. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can walk. Urgency calls for seriousness. The night cometh when no man can walk. The night cometh. What that means is you will not always be as strong as you are now. Use your best days to serve the Lord. Use your strongest days to serve the Lord. I get what I'm saying. The night cometh when you cannot walk. The night of your life might be when you are much older. 60 years cometh. 70 years cometh. Why do you think men of God are retired from active service sometimes, from pastoring? It's because the older you get, there is a limit to what you can now do. You see the way I used to come and teach like this. Teach for how many hours? 8 hours. No matter whether I agree or not, a time is going to come when I will not be able to stand and talk for 8 hours. That is the truth. Get the point? You'll be shouting, I'm stronger, but at that time, stronger is that you preach for 1 hour. You look at the likes of Kenneth Copeland, you hear them preach. Highest 45 minutes, they're done. It's not like they don't know what to say. But the night cometh. It's what I'm saying now. Now you can walk all the distance preaching. One day I'm just going to be encouraging your children. We want to go and share handbill. You even want to run around with us. You can no longer run around with us like that. Because the night cometh. It will not be your kids. He said, go. We went in our own days. The night cometh. And that's what I'm going to say to you. Live your life with a sense of urgency. And urgency does not call for hastiness. Urgency calls for seriousness. So I'm not saying become hasty about life and start running as if something is pursuing you. I mean be more serious with life. Because indeed the night cometh. Glory to God. I say glory to God. There must be some sense of seriousness to our kingdom work. There must be some sense of seriousness to our kingdom responsibility. There must be a sense of seriousness to our assignment on earth. Are you feeling what I'm talking about here? Are you still here? Give me John 21 and verse John 21 and verse 18. The night cometh. I just want to show you that the fact that the night cometh. Read with me, everybody. Come on, I need everybody to add their voice to this from the back to the front. Let your voice echo in this place. When thou was young, thou girdest thyself and walkest with that thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall get thee and carry thee with that thou wouldest not. NLT said, I tell you the truth, when you were young, you were able to do as you liked. You dressed yourself and went wherever you wanted to go. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and others will dress you and take you where you don't want to go. That's the reality of life. I get what I'm saying. Let me even say something to you. How your old age will look is determined by how you are doing now. A foolish young man will be a foolish old man. Listen, let me tell you. Wisdom doesn't jump on people because they're old. If you read 500 books as a young man, when you get older, you will speak like a wise man. If you read no book and learned nothing as a young man, when you get older, you will speak like an empty skull. I get what I'm saying? The quality of life you will enjoy when you are older is determined by what you do with your life now. Now, whether you even be strong doing ministry when you are 70, is determined by how strong you are now. Start your life very early. Be serious. There's evangelism. Preach the gospel. Seriously. There is prayer. Be around to pray. Seriously. There is study. Be around. You say you want to be in church. Be serious. I wish and I desire that everybody hearing me this morning, we come to a point where we stop pursuing you and calling you and making you serious. Where you be decided by yourself and allow the zeal of God to consume you. That I will pick up and be part of what God is doing. God wants his house full. God wants all nations flowing to his house. And God has given all of us the responsibility to play our part. I will play my part. You should play your part. Be more serious. Be more serious. Be more serious. I follow me this morning. Be more serious. Play this song for me. Life is not my own. To you I belong. Stand your feet. Sing it again. My life is not my own. I want you to sing it like nobody is saying.
I give myself to you.
One more time. Say, my life is not my own. Everybody come and sing.
My life is not my own.
To you I belong. To
you I belong.
I give myself
to you.
I want to hear the church sing it.
Say, my life is not my own. Sing. To you I belong. I give myself. One more time. Let me hear your own voice. Say, my life is not my own. Lift your hands all over this place. I give myself. So I give myself away. So you can use me.
So you can use
me.
I give myself away. I give myself away.
So you can use me.
So you can use me.
I give myself away.
Away, so you
do it again.
Can you?
I give myself away.
So you can use me.
Say this song. My song is yes. Lift your hands all over this place.
In your sufficiency, yes, yes, Lord. If you're looking for a man,
yes.
If you're looking for a person, I say yes, amen, I say yes.
Say, my song is yes.
My song is yes.
a scripture to us. Ecclesiastes 12 from verse 1 with NLT. I'm going to read it up to verse 7. Then I will close for today. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 from verse 1. And I don't know who needs to hear this. God, just this is not in my notes. God, just put it in my heart now to share with you. Don't let the excitement of youth cause you to forget your Creator. Honor Him in your youth before you grow old and say, life is not pleasant anymore. Remember Him before the light of the sun, moon, and stars is dim to your old eyes, and rain clouds continually darken your sky. Remember Him before your legs, the gas of your house, start to tremble. Before your shoulders, the strong men stoop. Remember Him before your teeth, your few remaining servants stop grinding. Before your eyes, the women looking through the window see dimly. Remember Him before the door to life's opportunities is closed and the sound of work fades. Now you rise at the chirping of the birds, but then all their sounds will grow faint. Remember Him before you become fearful of falling and worry about danger in the streets. Before your hair turns white like an almond tree in bloom and you drag along without energy like a dying grasshopper. Remember Him before you near the grave, your everlasting home, when the mourners will weep at your funeral. Yes, remember your Creator now while you are young, before the silver cord of life snaps and the golden bowl is broken. Don't wait until the water jar is smashed at the spring and the pool is broken at the well, for then the dust will return to the earth and the spirit will return to God who gave it. Remember the Lord your God. There is much work to do. Don't spare yourself. Stretch yourself. Do some more. Walk with urgency. There is a lot more to do. Are you following me this morning? There is a lot more to do. And one more promise. The Lord will not leave you stranded. He has never left anybody stranded. Nobody ever came to Him and said, He failed me. You won't be the first. He won't fail you. Throw yourself into this service. And I tell you, at the end of your life, when you look at the whole aggregate of your life, you have a cause to say, I didn't waste my life on it. And this to say to someone on that side of my voice, who is feeling guilty, who is feeling like he has wasted some important part of his life, you can begin today to burn for God, to do some more, to work hard, and become all that God wants you to be. Remember the Lord your God. Take 3 minutes, pray in the Holy Ghost before I leave you. Talk to God. Tell Him whatever you want to tell Him. Make commitments. That's what the service is calling for. Make commitments. And as you are praying that prayer, the impartation of every word I've spoken is coming. So make commitments to how you will throw yourself in. Just make that commitment. You have 2 minutes. Pray it. Make it. Pray seriously, please. Some of you, the Lord is bringing an energy and energizing. You're getting stronger. Pray seriously. If you are here, you are not born again. You've never put your faith in what Jesus has done. And you want to receive Jesus into your life. You want to say to Jesus, I want to receive your love. This is a good time to put up your hand and we are going to minister to you. While others are praying, if you want to say to Jesus, I want to welcome you into my heart, this is a good time to put up your hand. In case there's anybody there, I don't want to close this service assuming that all of us are saved. In case there is someone who did not get saved before you came here, and you want to say to Jesus, I want that today to be that day. You can raise your hand. But if there's nobody like that, let us all pray and say to God, we are giving ourselves. The angels bow down at the thought of you, and
Darkness gives way to the light for you. The price
that you paid gives us life.
Brand new.
Hosanna.
You can pray some more.
We worship you. Hosanna forever. We worship
you. The angels bow down.
The price that you pay keeps us alive. Brand new, Hosanna forever. We worship you. Hosanna forever. We worship.
Sing it again. The angels bow down.
The angels bow down at the door. The price that you paid gives us life. Brand new, Hosanna forever. We worship.
Let's all worship you. Do some. Let's all worship. Sing.
Hosanna forever. We worship.
The angels bow down. The angels. Darkness gives way
to the light for you. The price that you pay gives us life. Brand new, Hosanna forever. We worship you. Hosanna forever.
Please sing it again and again. Just now, I want to minister to people personally. The angels bow down.
The angels bow down.
Something is happening to your heart. Something is happening to your heart and your spirit in this service.
Darkness gives way to the light for you. The price that you pay keeps us alive. Brand new.
Angels bow down.
The angels bow down at the door of you.
Please sing with me.
Darkness gives way to the light for you. The price that you pay,
the price that you pay,
gives us brand new,
brand
new. Hosanna.
Hosanna one more time.
Hosanna, Hosanna forever. We worship you. Hosanna forever. We worship you.
Father, we thank you for what you've worked out for us in this meeting. And as we leave, I pray, let every need be met. Let finances turn around. Let health conditions be fixed. Let expectations be met. Let families experience victories. In the name of Jesus, may our heart burn more and more with the love of Jesus, and we'll become all that you want us to be. We'll look back to this service next year. We'll look back to this meeting next year, and we'll say this was the meeting where we picked up our lives, we became more for God, and all that he wants us to be for him. Thank you for his getting better. In Jesus' name we pray.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.